You're tuned in to People's Tribune Radio. I'm Kenny Shook.
You don't want people to say, revolution is nice, but I gotta pay the bills. The revolution is so you ain't gotta pay no bills.
People's Tribune Radio provides a source of revolutionary audio programming to people interested in changing society. It is produced in association with the newspaper People's Tribune and the magazine Tribuno del Pueblo. The next two shows are on point. We have coupled a two-part series on hip-hop and revolutionary vision. Over the course of the two programs, we will hear from four hip-hop groups: Sirens Echo, The Coup, Blue Scholars, and Fatou Criminal. We will keep the introduction short in order to share with you the music and the artist's thoughts. Today's program begins with a couple of hip-hop artists from Portland, Oregon. Tony Hill and Sindel make up the duo Sirens Echo. They share with us what music means to them and speak about their debut album, Psalms of the Sirens. Here's a sample from their song, The Anthem.
Born to lead and born to teach, gift of speech, gift of mind, it's all divine. Planets turn, stars align, hear the cry of the, follow the sound of the sirens echo. Jabber jaw, blabber mouth, the talking turkey. They say these things to persecute and try to hurt me. To silence the voice of a child that was born to sing and born to lead, to confuse me about my identity. I tucked away my wings in an act of disparity. And if you could believe, I vowed never to sing, never to dream, never to be. Inevitably, Osiris intervened. The North Star arrived to guide the men of wise on the same day, 1974. My mother birthed me from her inside.
I'm Tony Hill. The name of the group is Sirens Echo.
I'm Sindel, and the album is Psalms of the Sirens. All the books in the Psalms were songs, and they were anything from happy to sad to ups and downs. It wasn't just all sing-songy happy. There was a lot of trials and tribulations through the whole thing. And our album, you know, we have a party cut. We have spiritual songs. We have the big city of the trials and tribulations. So it kind of fit, you know. We have each song is different from each other, but it fits.
We don't claim any denomination per se. I was raised Catholic, but it doesn't stop there. I can appreciate a Baha'i. I could appreciate, you know, a Muslim. I can appreciate someone of the Buddhist faith. Or anything like that, because what we have in common is a faith that there is something greater than us. There's an energy or a power source, a creator of this, and that is for the greater good of the people and the world. So with that belief behind the whole thing, that's what motivated the Psalms of the Sirens, was just our songs to the creator or to God or to whomever and to the people.
Always been pretty musical. I play the violin for about 9 years. I still play it sometimes. I've always been inspired by music. It's always been a part of me. I wake up and would play every morning for an hour and start my day, and it always made me just feel right. Hip hop, I didn't get into until later in life, in like my teenage years.
Music was always played in my house. Soul music, R&B, jazz, rock, a little bit of everything. My brother was a b-boy when I was growing up, so he was always breakdancing or popping and locking. I found my voice in hip-hop and music some time ago when I was discovered that I could sing. I've always been a poet and a writer, so that part of it was always there. I played also an instrument. I grew up in choir, and I also played the clarinet for 5 years. So music's always kind of been there.
It's always been like a positive undertone throughout the whole thing, always some sort of message, like there is hope, kind of, you know, or there is a positive side to things, even though the negative is there. A spiritual undertone, too, always is in our music some way or another.
As well as empowerment for women. I think that is a really strong point that people usually touch with us, is that we inspire women and encourage them to express themselves in whatever medium it is, not to be intimidated by the powers that be, or like in hip hop in particular, it being a more of a male sport, that you can do it too. You know what I mean? That you have a voice, you have something to say, and you have something to contribute. We just encourage and inspire women and women of color, you know, lift up their voices and let their voices be heard, and know that there is somebody that's on their side and can speak to their issues and have their best interests at heart.
You're listening to People's Tribune Radio. Correspondent Tony Zaragoza was able to interview Sirens Echo while they were in Seattle doing a show. He follows up on the discussion of empowerment to women with a question about women in hip-hop. But first, another song, Sirens Echo's The Power of Words.
The power words come across to me. The power presence to approach technique. Individual pastime is critical to the masses. Gather at the cynical, waiting and wondering which ones are gonna run. And out of explanations, why one after one? It was my vision, the sole purpose of living. Given each a little piece to take home and spread the wisdom. Your decision.
So let's keep talking about women in hip hop. There's a lot of criticism that goes out to various rappers for the kinds of treatment of women that we see. But oftentimes what we don't look at is what the producers and the directors and the folks behind the scenes. And I'm wondering if you could talk to us about the role in commercial hip hop that women have kind of been given by these casting directors, by these CEOs who own the company and make most of the money.
If I can straighten your hair and put you in something tight and kind of revealing, sex sells. There's an industry for sex. There always has been historically. I mean, there's back in history, there has always been some type of prostitution or brothel type situation set up, whether the women were exploiting or being exploited. You know what I mean? There's a sex industry. So I think the pretty package, the bubblegum appeal, you want to try to get as many people to look at something first and try to get that. Once you got them hooked there, then maybe they might listen to the music. But I think that a lot of times it's like the mainstream is going to put out there something dumbed down. They're not going to give you the real music. They're not going to give you the revolutionary message. They're not going to try to give you any of that. They're going to try to keep you mentally bonded. They're going to try to keep you in a negative mode. They're going to try to keep your eyes on some prize that's not really obtainable. Like for everybody, you know, you got to have the bling bling, or you got to wear the booty shorts, or all the guys have to have you, and you have to have the MAC lipstick to be in the in crowd. So I think that their focus is on something that doesn't really have to do with the reality of living everyday life. The reason why the women may or may not accept these roles is because sometimes that might be your only shot, you know? And some women think, well, if I can just get my foot in the door, then I can change some of that. Or I'll have more power. Once I get in there, then I can, you know, try to say, well, I don't want to wear that anymore. And some of them don't really care, because maybe the way that they were raised, or maybe the way that everybody else sold them this idea that that's what you have to do. So they've accepted that role. So they don't even realize they're being exploited. They don't even think twice about it. They're just like, okay, well, this is what you got to do, so I'll be willing to do it. Whereas others may not be willing to accept that, and so they're not gonna be the first one to get picked up.
Why is it that we're sold one image, while at the same time, if you just walk down this Pike and Pine Street, you see countless people living on the streets? Why is there that difference between what we're shown and what is actually happening?
It's the American dream. You know what I mean? You have to have the picket fence. You got to have the bling bling. You got to have whatever it is that somebody dictates that you're supposed to have. Whatever's new on the market, everybody has to have it, because that was fuels consumerism. That's what fuels capitalism. You got to sell stuff. Just like that whole phenomenon with the Elmo doll. That thing is like $9.99 now, but you had people paying $100. You had people fighting in the store for this damn doll. I mean, you know what I'm saying? And the doll didn't do anything special. The doll didn't cook no food. The doll didn't give you self-esteem. It didn't do anything for you. But if you sell it right and you make people think that's what they need to feel good about themselves or make their child happy or whatever, then they're going to do whatever they got to do to get it. In terms of the videos, some of it is a lot of stereotypes, because there's like, well, all the black guys want to have bling and all of them have to wear the creased pants with the white shirt and all the diamonds, and that's what the hip hop culture is. You know what I mean? But that's not necessarily true. Hip hop is so much more than just bling bling. The whole rim thing and stuff, a lot of people can't afford that. It's not obtainable. They're renting those cars. They're not going to show you that they're renting those cars. If Snoop Dogg says that this is the new car that you should have, or these are the new clothes you can have, they know that young people are looking up to him, and so now they have to have it, and they'll do anything they have to do to have it. And then that perpetuates violence, that perpetuates selling drugs and a whole lot of other stuff, fights in the street, because you got to do whatever you got to do to have that stuff. And it just it brings a cycle of just strife, because you cannot have all of that stuff. And once you do have it, you've wasted your money on something that you can't do anything with, because eventually it's not up in value anyway. It depreciates and you're not wealthy. You might have been rich for like a second, but wealth is something that you're always going to have.
What some of your lyrics does is actually shine light on some of the reality that a lot of people are facing. White, black, Latino, Asian, Native American, it's a reality for millions of Americans. And I think of a particular lyric in your song, Big City, this idea, my brother is homeless, my mother is hopeless. Could you talk a little bit about the reality in your lyrics and give us some images from those lyrics?
Big City of Dreams, as with Dutchess and a lot of Ain't Nobody Speaking For Us, The Power of Words, a lot of those songs, they come from our own experiences coupled with friends that we know, my own brother who has struggled with homelessness, my own mother's fight with feeling hopeless when my younger brother was incarcerated for several years for selling drugs and things of that nature. So those things are true. The message come across so clear because there's a lot of convictions there, because it's reality, it's real. We've experienced it, or we've seen it firsthand, or we broke bread with the person that went through that and they shared that story with us.
This song is a beautiful, beautiful song, Big City of Dreams, when you hear it. But the reality of it is very real and negative and a lot of low points. But the end result of the song is still the positive out of it. So we're always trying to show what's real, and then there's always another way.
Yeah, in the big city of dreams, things aren't always how they seem.
Big city of dreams.
Listen up.
People trying, people dying, roofies and mouths of the babies crying. Well, I get no sleep, my sister OD. Grew up fast in a world that's cold to me. My brother's homeless.
Has always been the voice of the underdog, the voice of the guy who or the girl in the street that may have grown up in the projects. It started out in New York in the boroughs there, speaking to the graffiti culture, speaking to the b-boy culture, speaking to the blacks and the poor Latinos, and just expressing their psalms, their story, their life, their real life challenges, the strife, the tribulations, that adversity that they experienced. Maybe the griminess of living in the city, you know, or the cold reality of your mom being on crack. Those things that music before hip hop was there may have touched on, but never so forcibly, never so aggressively, never so dynamically had they ever talked about these things. I think country music talks about, and the blues talks about things that happen to people, but hip hop music really embodies struggle. and trying to bring to light things that were going on for the people who didn't have no voice before. And it really gave those people an opportunity to speak up and let their voice be heard, let their issues be heard, let their realities shine through. And it gave them an outlet, because you sometimes, man, when you're going through all that kind of stuff, you got to get something off your chest, you know. And a lot of times when you know, the turntablism aspect of it was, you know, original first, so it was partying and things, it's like, man, we got to party, we got to get some stuff off of our chest, or for one moment express something. That's what hip-hop is. It's like the essence of somebody's soul, something that they went through, something that they're going through, and it's a voice. It's like, I'm leaving an imprint behind for society to know that this is what was real. This was what was going on. No matter what y'all talking about, you're not going to sidetrack me. This is what's real.
When the city is dying,
for angry souls, past bows and shows, and walk with chest cavity on swole, past women with capricious goals, swinging their asses around poles for dough, their souls are wax cold. Dawn arrives, stars in their eyes, licking lips that whisper lies about the skies being the only limit. Young and tender and so timid, recognize a cesspool but still opt to swim in it. With no limits and no boundaries, legs stretch from county to county and choke their sleeping wives' lies. The wolf does cry in sheep's clothing, sloth is to be woven in into the very fabric of our lives. Lack of understanding, lack of pride is a silent to the reasons why we must get our virgin backs up off dirty mattresses in abandoned buildings.
There's a thing about music and art, and especially being with other folks, that is about building community and being together, and I mean feeling the beat together, which I think is absolutely amazing as far as music as a form of art. One of the things that we try to do in our shows, like you do in Big City of Dreams, is end on that positive and think about what it is that we're trying to build for, having a vision for a new kind of society. And I'd like to ask you both, what is your vision for a new kind of society, a new world?
My vision for the future is kind of like Gil Scott-Heron and some of the black poets back in the day. It's just like the revolution will not be televised. There's people in the streets, there's people around right now in the streets that are the revolutionaries. They're the next leaders, they're the next teachers, they're the next valedictorians of the next college that hasn't even been built yet. They're the next professors on life. And I think that if we can gather as many of these people together, come together and just be like, man, no matter what, we're all gonna stick together, we're gonna make sure that these particular things happen for us, instead of being so powerless. So I think hip-hop will help people, maybe inspire them to try again, care about somebody more than yourself, because it is bigger than just you.
I just would like to see the kids with a family, you know what I mean? They can be in with a family that can love them and raise them. Parents can be working, have jobs, not have to worry about child care or health care. Make sure everyone can eat, and I think we'd be happy.
This is People's Tribune Radio. Today's show is looking at hip-hop and revolution. We just heard from Portland, Oregon's Sirens Echo. Up next, we're going to take you south from Portland down to the Bay Area. Oakland, California's The Coup has been spitting revolutionary messages for a long time now. Boots Riley's smooth flow over Pamela Funkstress's DJing makes everyone want to tune into the revolution. Correspondent Tony Zaragoza and I met up with Boots after a concert in Seattle, Washington. We started off the interview by asking what his message was to people who listened to his music.
You can change the world. You have the power to do it yourself. It doesn't take somebody with a beret or with a black leather jacket. It doesn't take some big, strong dude with a quote-unquote warrior mentality. It doesn't take a man that looks a certain way, a woman that looks a certain way. It's you that's going to do it. The person reading these words, listening to this, is the person that's going to do it. We need to stop thinking of how to live like a better revolutionary and start thinking of what does the revolution mean and how are we going to be part of that? How are we going to change the world? How are we going to make things better right now and in 20 years? You are the person that's going to do it, because everybody else is waiting on the person next to them, and you are the person that will start the chain reaction.
Make me
is a form of communication, but it can communicate so many more things subtly than people can usually do with their words. Can communicate a feeling, can communicate an urgency that, you know, is really not quantifiable. And so it puts a spirit behind the ideas that the artist is trying to put forward. You can see from the listening to it that there's someone else that agrees with you and that may be there for you. So they end up being able to be a battle cry. They end up being able to be a theme for going into struggle.
Check out the introvert in the corner with the rip in her skirt. Stomach pain, so she gripping her shirt. Ain't never had dinner, so she knows she ain't getting dessert. Don't try to tell me it's her mission to hurt. I got faith in the people and they power to fight. We gon' make the struggle blossom like a flower to light. I know that we could take power tonight. Make them cower for Mike and get emergency clearance from the tower for flight. I ain't sitting.
My vision for a new kind of society, people may call it socialism, communism, whatever, but it's people democratically controlling the wealth that they create. So not only should we be able to theoretically, like you theoretically can in this system, democratically decide which politicians will be the face that represents you, but we should be able to democratically decide what happens with that surplus that comes from the labor that we do at the job that we work at. What do we do with that money? Does it go to buy the CEO a new house? Or do we build new houses for everyone that needs them? You know, what do we do if we work at Kmart? How much do we get paid? We need to have a democratic right to decide what we should be able to sell our labor for and what we should be able to trade our labor for. Now, if you think about that in that sense, that all of this stuff is political and that it all should be democratized, then the only solution is that the people collectively own these industries and that we decide how we're going to use the resources. So that's the vision.
Get high from the income angle. Bump this at the party even if it ain't the single. Here's a slum serenade on razor blades and grenades by the nannies and the maids who be polishing the sway. You could let the sets go, but let's make the sets grow into brigades with the ghetto manifesto.
I call it communism. You can call it whatever you want. And it really, because some people are scared of this word or that word. And really, I don't feel like sitting around a room for hours discussing what should be called. Some people that call themselves anarchists are really talking about socialism, you know, but then they say, oh, it's different than what happened in Russia. It's different than what happened in China. It's going to be different every time because we learn from the mistakes of the past. And, you know, we need the people. People's power means people having democratic control of the profits that they create.
Do your checks have elasticity? Did they cut off your electricity? Did you scream and yell explicitly? Force the boss into complicity. I'm a white chalk stencil, but I push a pencil. Rolling dope fiend rentals to your residential.
Right now we have people dying by bullets and bombs because a few people decided somewhere in, you know, not even in any hidden dark room, but out in public, that someone needed to die for their profit. Who controls that? You know, what? How did this situation come about? It came about because right now there is the people have no power. There are a few people who have the power to decide things in their best interest. And, you know, their best interest is consolidating their power, consolidating their capital. And that's what war is about, is reorganization. Reorganization of capital, reorganization of the processes through which capital flows. All wars have been about that.
Even renowned hack historians have found that the people only bound back when they pound back. So I take out a spray can and paste the payment, the face engravements of the suffering nation.
I think that everybody in the world seems unhappy with the state of affairs in the world right now. And I'm not just talking about the war, because people are dying every day because someone decided that the policy on where and rice is grown and how much they should pay for it is. Someone decided that based on their profit motives. And there could be whole areas that have a famine because of that. There are people that decide how much they're going to pay a certain section of the working class, to where people are working most of their life from the time that they're 4 years old till they're 60, if they get that old. And they decide that based on a profit motive. We need to change the world from the power base being in the hands of a few who control the many for their own interests. And we need to change it to be where the many control themselves in their own interests.
Let's make heaven tonight.
I used to think about infinity and how my memory is finna be invisibly slim in that vicinity. And though the stars are magnificent, whiskey in the midnight sky can make you feel insignificant. The revolution in this tuning verse is a bid for my love to touch the universe. Struggling over wages and funds, let the movement get contagious and run through the end when it's cages and guns. And if we win in the ages to come, we'll have a chapter where the history pages are from. They won't never know our name or face, but feel our soul and free food they taste. Feel our passion when they heat their house, when they got power on the street and the police don't beat them about. Let's make healthcare centers on every block. Let's give everybody homes and a garden plot. Let's give all the schools books, 10 kids a class, and give them truth for their pencils and pads. Retail clerk love ballots where you place this on. Let's make heaven.
There's a whole myth of where the seat of power is, and people think that when they're voting on who's in the seat of power. And the seat of power is not in Washington, D.C. Well, it may be, but it's in the heads of these corporations and the people that have stock in them and controlling stock in them and what their interests are. First of all, we're going through this whole show of electing people that aren't really even in the seat of power. And it's giving us this idea that we're changing something. And we are changing something. I'm not going to be, an essentialist and say, oh, nothing ever changes. Yeah, you can change something. But the question is, usually the things that we want to change are on a much bigger level. And they have to do with the distribution of wealth and resources. You know, if you really want to have a say in how much people are getting paid, the whole question over electing people that may want the minimum wage up, while at the same time, there are legislation going around that stopping unions from being militant, and there are strike breakers and things like that. It's kind of a shell game. What we need to do is build these organizations and have militant leadership of these organizations that struggle around wages and things like that. You know, we really need to look at where we think power is at and how to change that will come from that.
Let me show you what I mean. I'm anti-Republican and Democratic. If they self-destruct, that's anticlimactic. Tired of being hunted like an antelope. Take the system by the throat, that's the antidote. So I pose a proposition. Take a look, be in support of opposition. You'll be proactive, proceed with confidence. Cause you know that you can't change this shit by riding the fence.
That's it for this edition of People's Tribune Radio. To find out more about the artists in this program, read the reviews in the August 2005 People's Tribune. Every month, PT Radio, in association with the newspaper People's Tribune and the bilingual magazine Tribuno del Pueblo, attempts to share with you information and visions for a new cooperative society. To find out where to read the music reviews or for more information, please call 1-800-691-6888. Once again, that's 1-800-691-6888. Or visit us on the web at www.ptradio.org. I'm Kenny Shook. Thanks for tuning in, and please join us next time for People's Tribune Radio. Mm-hmm. Sure.